Now it's a good afternoon. It's a good afternoon. We started in the morning, but now it's afternoon. But don't go to sleep yet. I'm so happy to be here and glad to see Liz and Chuck and Yoni and those folks there and Shoshi. I think I didn't see you before, but you're beautiful. You look more than 16, so your parents have less anxiety. I'm happy to be here. For those of you who do not know me, I'll say a little bit about me so that you won't think that Chuck invited somebody who is disqualified to talk. I left Israel in year 2002. Since until then, I was the president at Jerusalem University College and Mount Zion. And then I went to Korea, my native country, and I became the president of a Christian university. I served there. Then I went to Ethiopia, and now I'm excavating in the land of Queen of Sheba, called Aksum, Ethiopia. It's about 1 hour by plane to the north from Addis Ababa, and it's a beautiful place. It's an archaeological wonderland. So I put my spade into that soil, and then in Korea I became the president and CEO of KBS Symphony Orchestra. Now that's a big change from archaeology to music, but you wonder why or how it happened, but it happened. So KBS Symphony Orchestra is the national symphony orchestra that goes with the KBS Korea Broadcasting Service. It's like the equivalent of NHK Symphony Orchestra in Japan. So it's a prestigious and the oldest symphony orchestra in Korea. When I came to Jerusalem several days ago, my wife gave me a worst notice that I have to preach in this church on Saturday. Our church in Korea is a mega church. We have 100,000 members. So to come to this congregation is not a problem. But you know, to stand here is a problem for me, because number one, there are so many Bible experts in Jerusalem. To talk about Bible in front of them is scary. And my English is still growing. It's not perfected yet, so I am trembling. But I couldn't say no to my wife, so I said okay. So I'm going to say something about this text that I chose. Before that, I'll say that my children grew up in this country, and now my son Jason married. He's 24 years old, and he's residing in Indiana. And my daughter began violin here, and she's now 21 years old, and she's in the USA also. Every good thing comes from the USA, for me at least. Today's text I chose is Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 9. Did anyone read this for the congregation? No. So, if my sermon gets longer, that's not my fault. It's that I have to read it now. So, let's read it together. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 9. I will read it. My version is NIV. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness, and they came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is a holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. This is the word of God. Amen. In verse 8, I think God is a little bit exaggerating here. He said it's a good and spacious land. Do you feel spacious in this country? But anyway, you know, he has freedom to exaggerate a little bit. This text is well known, and probably you can, you know this very well. But let me share what I understood from this text. Let's look at the scene first. The scene, verse 1, sets the tone of this event. If you see a movie, the first scene is very important. Here, verse 1 sets the first scene. Here, every word is very discouraging. In this verse 1, every word is discouraging to this guy called Moses. He says, the name of Moses himself, Moses, what does this name mean to the guy who is Moses? This guy came from Egypt. Once he was a prince in the palace, and probably he was set up to become the next king. But now he is a refugee, has been a refugee. Maybe people forgot that he was a refugee even. He's right there for 40 years now. He's an old man, and there's nobody to support him. He's herding, sheep and goats. And this name once was a very proud name, but even to Moses, this name does not mean much. So no status, no hope, no popularity, no network, no people around him, nothing. The flock, this dumb animal, is not any help to Moses. And it's not his own. His flock, the sheep and goats he was carrying, they were not his own. He was his father-in-law's. So they're not much to him. Think about Jethro, the father-in-law. He's not your father. He's the wife's father. And he is your, I don't know how to call this, a business owner, He's carrying this sheep and goats for him. So he has been under Jethro's leadership for 40 years. He did not have his own business, he didn't establish his own authority there. So Jethro didn't give him much glory. And then this word wilderness, think about this wilderness. He was not in civilization, wilderness. You look around everywhere, there's nothing to help him. And then he said that he was leading these sheep and goats to the far side of the wilderness. What's the far side of the wilderness? In another translation, it says to the west side of the wilderness. In our concept in the Middle East, east means hope. West means no hope, disappointment, end. When you build the temple, you face it toward the east. You don't face toward the west. So east means hope, west means no hope. And then this guy has no hope. Disappointment in his heart. Discouragement in his heart. His life is going to end sometime soon. Then he arrived at the mountain of God, Horeb. And he didn't know that it was a mountain of God. He was just arriving there because he was doing that every day. Maybe looking at the event retroactively, he realized that it was mountain of God. But at that time, it was not probably. His situation in the chapter 3, verse 1, is very bad. There's nothing encouraging. There's no hope. Nobody around you. Only dumb animals. And they were not yours. They didn't understand what Moses was thinking. How about your situation? Are you in that area now? I was there once in a while. But remember, God is always there. When you think that you are alone, you're hopeless, you've been there a long time with your own problems, but God is there. God has been there faithfully. If you look at Gideon's story in Judges chapter 6, when Gideon was in the lowest ebb in his life, God was there. No one says amen, so I'll move on. I'm not supported by you, so I'll just move on, okay? Number one from this text that I understood is that, point number one is that do not avoid God for worthless things. Do not try to guard what you have, which is worthless in your life, and avoid God. Don't do that. God left Moses in the wilderness at Sinai. Some people say that's Saudi Arabia. I don't believe it. It's still Sinai, I think. And he left him there for 40 years. Now God wanted to meet him today. God wants to see him today. And he appeared in a bush, burning bush. But the text says here, verse 3, Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. He said, I will go over. Now, what does this mean? Another translation said, I will go back. This probably is a stronger translation. I don't know if this fits the original language. I didn't check it. I don't have my library with me. So I said, English, go over. But if you go back, what does that mean? He passed it. Past the burning bush. not maybe far away, but a little bit past. Why? But when a tree burns, what happens there? You hear tick, tick, tick sound, and then the fire. What's that in English, my wife? Ash or something flies, you know. What was he carrying here? He was carrying a bucket of water. No, he was carrying animals, sheep and goats. And these animals was full of fur, hair. And if an ash comes to touches the, you know, this animal, it burn fire. I don't know how many animals he was taking at that time. Let's say 20, 30, or maybe 100. But you cannot have, you know, 100 barbecued animals in Sinai. And you cannot eat all of them. You can eat part of that, but then what do you do with the rest of that? And then when you get home, and they were not yours. So Jethro said, what happened to you? You still don't know how to tend your animals? You know, there's a big problem. So what Moses tried to do in the beginning was, when saw the fire, he tried to protect his animal, and he turned around. Does it make sense to you? So he moved around from the fire. But in the corner of his eyes, he realized that the tree was still burning. It's not burning down, burning, texted burning up. So then he said, he had a curiosity. That's something strange. I want to go over there. So he left his animals here, and then he went to the bush. I'm glad he did that. Why? Today, I mean this day, God wanted to see him. God wanted to talk to him. Now it's time for him to do something. But if he had turned around and, you know, moved away, God would have gone in front of him and burned another bush there. You know, another bush. And then he would say, my goodness, I don't know why, you know, there are so many trees are burning today. And he turned around that way, and then God would have burned another bush over there. And so all day he's circling around, moving around. God tried to catch his attention, and Moses tried to avoid the fire and moving around. So it was, like that, but I'm glad that Moses went to the tree. How about you? I think, you know, the best gift you can have from God when you come to Jerusalem is to meet him, to know him, to understand him. It's not the, you know, olive tree ornaments. It's not that something you can buy in the old city. But Moses met God in the wilderness. But how much more you can meet God in Jerusalem, Yerushalayim. Maybe you're chased by God today. Maybe he wants to see you. Maybe he wants to talk to you. But you are carrying something worthless for you, and you cannot meet him because of that thing. When he finally let Jethro's sheep and goats go, and he was able to see him. So maybe it's time for you to reevaluate what you have, and then drop things and go over to God. Since no one says amen, I'll move on to number two. Because in my country, in my church, if we preach, they kept saying amen. So then that pushes me to move on to the next point. But here, I thought this church is charismatic, but it's not anymore. So let me move on to the next point. Number two, have plenty of spiritual curiosity, spiritual courage in the midst of hardships, in the midst of hard times. I already told you that in the verse 1, the setting itself shows that he was under stress and he was in disappointment, discouragement, and no hope. life is almost done, all these things. So he had fire in his heart, of fire of the disappointment, fire of, I'd call it unsatisfaction, fire of unfinished business in Egypt, etc. His heart was full of discontentment. And then the outside, the heat was horrible. In Sinai, the heat is intense. And the air is hot, was hot. And the sand wind blew, difficult to breathe. In this kind of situation, God appeared in fire. I mean, he had no mercy. If I were God, I would have appeared with a rain shower. So much rain, you know. Then you know that this is certainly a phenomenon that God made. But here, God appeared in the fire. It's getting worse, you know. So, you know, there's no joy for on Moses' part in meeting God, you know. The more troubles are happening here. Maybe that was another reason why Moses avoided the burning bush in the beginning. Is your situation like this? Misfortunes can come in clusters. Worse things can happen on top of bad things. But that's the time God is trying to meet you with a solution. And you have to believe that. That's what happened with Moses, with Gideon, and other people in the Bible. One day my sister called me. "Brother, what's happening? Somebody hit my car and then made a dent in the bumper." The bumper? The bumper made a dent. "And we couldn't catch him, you know. He disappeared. I have to pay a lot of money to get this bumper replaced." I said, "Well, so just wait, somebody will come and hit it again and then maybe you can get it replaced." "Oh no, you're crazy." But she didn't do it. And after a few weeks, she called me again and said, "Wow, you know, what happened?" "I was driving in the market area and a car hit my car again." Boom. But this time that guy was such a nice guy. He stopped, right, and then got that bumper completely replaced. Was broken in the second accident. But the second guy was a nice guy. Okay, so worst thing happened. But the problem got solved. And her car became like a new, in terms of bumper at least. Bumper. Sometimes we have, our situation is like that, getting worse and worse. But the solution is waiting somewhere. And God is holding that solution with you. When the going gets tough, this is an American thing, the tough get going. Don't give up yet. Don't fall down yet. I went through so many academic studies and, you know, my ability, my English, they're all very limited. So sometimes I was very discouraged. But in your case, not. I think you'll just pass through and you have clear thinking like your mother, and I'm sure you'll do great. And always I said, tough times never last. Tough people will do. That's how I survived. You know, have a spiritual courage when things don't go very well. Because Liz nodded, I'll move on to the third point. And her singing gets more pretty, strong, and her husband talk gets softer and softer. Liz, did you major music or piano. I like your music. It's really fantastic. Number three, that's going to be my last point probably. Yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have a spiritual eye. We sang a song here to asking God to give an eye for the heart, of the heart, but have a spiritual eye to see a spiritual phenomenon, spiritual and special phenomenon in a common phenomenon or in common phenomena. Because here, trees burn everywhere and anywhere, always in our human history, don't know how many years in our human history, trees burned. Trees were everywhere and always. And people saw burning trees everywhere. In Korea, every year, billions of acres are burned down, trees. This is a big problem. And if you remember, many years ago, the entrance of Jerusalem, the forest was burned down. So many trees are burned down. And in Yellowstone Park, somewhere in the USA, you have so many trees. Zillions of trees are burned down. But there are not even one single person who met God in front of those burning trees. Because they are just a common phenomena. But here, Moses saw God, met God in this common phenomenon. Of course, that the text says that the tree didn't burn down, the tree didn't burn up. Okay, that's it. Maybe there are other trees like that, but nobody saw it. We think everything is usual, it's mundane and regular, all these things. But God is working in that kind of situation. Do not see what's happening around you with the usual understandings. Try to understand why it is happening. Ask that question. Have a spiritual curiosity. God works through common phenomena to reveal His special purpose and providence. I'll give you just a small examples. People come to Jerusalem. Many people come to Jerusalem. That's a common phenomenon. But why did God allow you to come to Jerusalem? That is a special phenomenon. And you have to get an answer for that. That's a special blessing from God, and there is a special reason why God allowed you to come here. Maybe you are a tourist, but still, there got to be something. There are so many churches in Jerusalem. That's a common thing, common phenomenon. But why this Baptist church? Is this still the Baptist church? Yes. Yeah, if that's the case, why this, we come to this church? To pray, and to worship, and to fellowship. There got to be special meaning here. There are so many pastors in Jerusalem. But why Chuck Cobb then? Right? That's something special for us. We have to think about it. Your family. There are so many families in the world. Why your family is given to you? Why did God give that person as your mother or father or wife or husband or child? We stick together. You know, that we have to ask why. Why? I grew up in a fundamental Christian church, and they always told us not to ask questions, just to believe. Now I protested. No! We have to ask, what is God doing in my life? What is God doing today? Okay, so many of you nod, so I'll go to the conclusion. I'm happy about that. I don't have to try to convince you. Moses was told to take off his sandals. Why? He said, this is a holy ground, and you take off your shoes. What does it have to do with the, if it's a holy ground, what does it have to do, you know, taking off someone's shoes, one's shoes? I thought, number one, because the shoes represent your former lifestyle. No one knows what you did yesterday, but your shoes know. Do you know that? Maybe you did something secretly. Even your mother doesn't know that. But the shoes know that. In the night time, the shoes smile and grin and say, I know you what you did. So you can deceive everybody, but not your shoes. Okay? The shoes knows your past. The shoes knows what you did in the past. And God is telling Moses, turn around from your habit, your lifestyle. Actually, you know, Moses was doing things on his own. He even killed a person. He didn't ask God. He did things on his own. He had power. He was handsome. He was nice. He was supported by the nation. But God couldn't use him. God couldn't use him. Why? Because he was on his own. He was doing his sinful life. He thought he was doing God's work, but God didn't accept it. He left him 40 years until he learned that he should not do that. So when he was young, when he was a prince, when he had power, he had everything, you know, if God said, you know, Moses, tell your people to go, could have been done just like that. But God didn't do that. Number two, once you take off your shoes, you cannot go every place because it will hurt your feet. You have to go, you know, certain spots to walk right, freely. Once you take off your shoes, then the life is different. You cannot live the way you did it in the past until yesterday. So then God will lead you step by step through the woods, through the sands, through the stones. You follow God and you cannot deviate from that. That's why probably God was telling him to take off his shoes. From now on, I'm going to lead you. Until now, you led your life on your own free will, and you made such a mistake, and you wasted 40 years of your life. But from now, I'm going to take you. I will guide you. Yoni and I know that we guide people, and then, you know, they have to follow us. Right? Yeah, correct. Even to the restaurants, even to the, you know, bathrooms, etc. They cannot go anywhere without our permission. Right? So God was telling Moses that even he couldn't go to the bathroom on his own. Now, from now on, God is going to tell him what to do. So that's what happened from verse 10 onward. And then these people called the Israelites, they were led to this small but spacious land called Canaan. Hallelujah. God bless you.